You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. Welcome back. Final hour. And by the way, if you missed what Mike Griffith said 3 hours ago, we are going to play a snippet of that. And if you haven't heard it, you might want to call your friends and neighbors. It's pretty amazing what he had to say about Nick Saban, Kalen DeBoer, and the Crimson Tide. This is a very special day for a lot of people. It's the opening of the SEC baseball season. The conference success speaks for itself. The odds are pretty good that LSU is in a great spot to repeat, although they're not ranked that high, as high as a couple of other SEC schools. Wake Forest, Arkansas. I mean, it's an endless conversation. Kyle Peterson, who, of course, the face of baseball on ESPN and the SEC Network, joining us. KP, great to have you on opening day. Seems like every year the schools are fairly similar. Good afternoon, and give us your thoughts on the opening of the season and what it means.
Paul, good to talk to you, good man. It's exciting. This is when everybody thinks they're pretty good, which is fun. And every fan base thinks that they've got a real chance. And you're right, it's a lot of the same names at the top. A&M's a little bit higher than they were at the end of the year last year. I think they're a top 10 team. Alabama got back into the top 25 after their finish last year. But I think it's Florida, Arkansas, LSU are a notch better than everybody else on paper. But, I mean, there's probably another half dozen at least that you could look at and say, yeah, they've got a legitimate chance to get to Omaha. The league's loaded again.
Let me start with LSU because, I mean, they lost so many amazing players, but they're still up there because they're obviously they have a great coach and a great tradition. What makes them possible? What gives you reason to think that they could possibly do it again?
Well, they still got a lot back. I mean, obviously, you lose Cruz and you lose Skeens. Those are the two big ones that jump out. But you do get Tommy White back, who had 24 home runs last year and is a first rounder, one of the best hitters in the country. And a few kids that I think are going to have pretty good, not necessarily bounce back years, it's the wrong way to say it, but pretty good sophomore years. Jared Jones was not a full time guy last year, he kind of was at the end of the year. I know he went deep already today. And then Paxton Kling, who got dinged up a little bit, I think it'll be an everyday guy for him, and he should be able to put up numbers too. And then obviously it's a transfer portal. They got one of the best arms in the portal, Luke Holman, who was at Alabama, and their starting shortstop who led off for him today, Michael Braswell, was at South Carolina. So you fill a few spots in, you get a guy like Tommy White back that you know is going to bang, and some kids grow up a little bit, and I think it's going to be LSU looking like LSU again.
You mentioned Florida. They've been there so many times with Sully winning the title a couple of years ago and nearly getting there again recently. What makes them so special?
Well, Jack Caglione to start. I mean, he's kind of the college baseball version of Shohei. And I think from an offensive standpoint, I mean, he hit 33 home runs last year. So it's as good a raw power as there is in the country. And if he can throw strikes on the mound, it's as good a left-hander as there is in the country. So, I mean, you have this combination of stuff that nobody else does. They lose Wyatt Langford, who was one of the best hitters in the nation, but what they do have coming back is a staff that I think is going to be really good, and they're high on a freshman named Liam Peterson. We'll see if they defend the way they have. They've been a really good defensive team since Sully's been there, and I don't know if this team's going to be quite as good. Again, transfer guys. They get Colby Shelton, who hit over 20 home runs last year at Alabama. Alabama's a top 20 team and lost two of the top transfers in the entire country. Both stayed in the league. But Shelton's going to be a big part of that Florida lineup.
And one other school, and obviously we'll talk to you as the season goes on, but Arkansas came, what, 6-7 years ago within an out of winning the College World Series, but they're always up there. Talk a little bit about the Razorbacks.
They'll really pitch it. Hagan Smith, who wasn't great today, but he will be great as the course of the season goes on. And again, I mean, they got some really big transfers. A kid named Wahelo Aloy from Sac State that had a big-time freshman year last year, comes in and should hit in the middle of that lineup, should play right in the middle of their infield. I mean, Dave Van Horn every single year is gonna go get guys. And the one thing he doesn't do a lot is he doesn't play a lot of freshmen a whole lot. They're always a little bit older. They're always a little bit more experienced. It's the exact same thing this year. But if I had to pick one of those three right now, I think I'd probably pick Arkansas just for what they have on the mound and then the thump that they potentially have at the plate. They're pretty balanced.
I mean, we could say with the SEC all afternoon, but Wake is expected to have a monster team. Are they the best shot outside of the SEC?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and definitely not the only, but Wake's loaded. I mean, Wake was loaded to start, and then they got Chase Burns, the right-hander from Tennessee, that was up to 102 last week in his last tune-up before the start of the regular season. Yeah, I think it's hard to say that anybody on paper is better than Wake. I mean, we all know that doesn't end up usually being the team that wins the whole thing. But Wake looks like an SEC team, the way they are from a power, speed, and really power on the mound standpoint. They are as complete as anybody in the country.
Kyle Peterson, we really are excited always to have you on, and we will talk to you as the season gets going here. It's already started, but as it gets a little deeper. Thank you so much, Kyle. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Always great to talk to you. See you, Paul.
KP joining us on the beginning of the baseball season. You'll see plenty of games here soon. We started the show 3 hours ago with Mike Griffith, and I know a lot of people are upset. Not really sure what he said if you didn't hear it. This is a snippet of what Griff had to say earlier today.
Georgia doesn't think too much. Kirby doesn't think too much about Alabama. Georgia fans really, you know, really the October 19th game at Texas is the big headache. There's an F1 race that weekend. Georgia fans having a hard time getting tickets for that game. They're looking at that as probably the game that's going to decide the SEC in Texas next year. And to me, that's what I've heard more about is the game in Austin,
Griff,
Texas.
Do I need to remind you that before that game in Austin, the Dogs have a game in Tuscaloosa on September 28th?
Oh, I'm very well aware. Listen, I'm with you. I think that's a game that should be a focal point. But, you know, what you're asking me what I'm hearing, and I'm hearing a lot about Texas and the threat of Texas and Steve Sarkisian. I mean, that's a staff that's been in place. That's a team that beat Alabama by 10 points in Tuscaloosa last year. That's an impressive program that Steve Sarkisian's built. And they're a real threat to the SEC with their budget. So to me, I think that's the big threat right now. People talk about Texas and Georgia at the top of the SEC. And then you get into the second tiers, the Alabamas, the Tennessees, the LSUs, Old Misses in Missouri's.
Stacy is up next in Birmingham.
Paul Feinbaum, just some people you can't listen to, and Mike Griff is one of them. So when he didn't mention Alabama, that let me know right then he was off his rockers. All right. Paul, pull up that list again. You were just talking to Larry, and you pulled up a caller that – Call of the Year list. Pull that list up again. You got it up, Paul?
Well, it'll take a second. We have it now. And it's Legend, Dwayne, Squirrel, JK. Those are the first four. This is a projection.
Okay. And what's the last four out?
I forgot. You are one of them. Dominique and Stacy are among the – you're the last four in the tournament.
But you know what? I agree with Larry. It's rigged because JK shouldn't be nowhere in there. JK shouldn't be nowhere on the list. But see, I don't worry about the list anyway because I just call in and tell the truth. But JK's name shouldn't be nowhere on the list. JK shouldn't even call into the show.
Listen, Stacy, I appreciate your your producing of the list, but we will update Monday, and there's a good chance it will change.
Well, that's good.
And
well,
there's a good chance this call will probably affect your ranking.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
Well, if it does, then that's just going to further prove Larry's statement that it's rigged.
Well, first of all, Stacey, it is not. Nothing is rigged because it's a projection right now. So it could only be rigged if someone actually influences the outcome. It hasn't even started yet. I mean, I feel like I'm watching. I feel like I'm watching CNN right now. Everybody's accusing everything else of being rigged, and I mean, this is a caller tournament.
Okay.
It's not rigged until we say it's rigged.
Okay, I call you back when it's updated. Then
we'll call you, Stacey. Let's go to another guy who's on the bubble. Dominic from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Dominic.
I wanted to talk to you about a few things related to Alabama football.
Okay.
First, I don't care what planet you're from, but there is no way someone ranks the Penn State Pussycats ahead of Bama in any poll related to football. Their offense is about as good as Iowa's. I have no idea what that moron was thinking. He should lose his job, don't you think so?
I don't think anybody should lose his job, but I appreciate your opinion, Dominic.
Thanks, Paul. But also, yesterday you talked about some of the transfers Bama lost and mentioned McLaughlin leaving as an issue.
Hey, by the way, I forgot to mention that the Washington Center has transferred to Alabama.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But that McLaughlin guy, he's got a better chance making the Buckeye bowling team the way he snaps. And, yeah, like you said, we can get that Parker Brailsford kid, and that'd be a big upgrade. We just need to find an O-line coach.
That is correct. You're on message tonight, Dominic.
Yep. And one last thing. I got to put my black hat on from legend for this one first. I got an idea for Mike Griffith this weekend. Go home, sit in front of your TV, and go on demand and rewatch that SEC championship and realize that Bama are the SEC champions and Georgia better not overlook that September game. Me and my buddies call people like him that make stupid comments like that shit for brain. Roll damn tide, Paul. See you later, buddy.
Did he say what I thought he said? Did this little kid say what I thought he said? Oh, my goodness. He's 12 years old. Cat Daddy, would you let a 12-year-old talk like that?
I got to follow that kid. Oh, no. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If that was my mom or daddy, I'd be in the backyard with a bar of soap down my throat.
Wow. Now, a lot of you may not have heard that, but Cat Daddy did because he was on hold. But you can imagine what the kid said.
Yeah, that ain't too hard, folks. Just, use your imagination. But I was kind of shocked when I heard it myself. It's fine, Bob. I must be true. It made my whole train of thought just go crazy. But if you would like to continue, I do have an observation.
Yeah, absolutely. Please.
You have to imagine.
Randy, would you help me off the floor here after Dominic said what he did? Blank for brains from a 12-year-old?
Day of the morning.
That was my 12-year-old. He'd be sleeping outside.
Hey, day of the morning. Well, I'd have had my mouth washed out.
Oh, yeah.
So
me too.
Anyway, just to get away from him, and I hope he understands what he did wrong. I'm sure his mom and dad talked to him. But anyway, y'all talk about putting the coach down there on the same stage, Saban and Pat McAfee. Man, that's like mixing gasoline and water.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Have you thought about the what could happen between those two? I mean,
I trust Coach Saban, knows what he's doing. I'm sure he's got something in his contract he'll make it. He'll survive anyone on that set. Oh, well, I say that. There's a couple of people he might not survive, but I think he'll be okay with McAfee.
Yeah, well, he made Deion all right. I'm sure he'll do all right with Mac. Good luck, Coach, on that new gig you got. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Cat Daddy. Yes, sir. And we are going to the break as we try to pick ourselves up after Dominic goes rogue on us here on a Friday night. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Final 40 minutes of the show. Jim is next. Hey, Jim.
Day of the first and the first week I called. You recall that, I'm sure, don't you?
I do. Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Paul. I mean this. That kid, and he's a grown man at 12, really, in my opinion. I said the other day he's like 12 going on 35. He is fantastic. I think he's got a phenomenal future. He's smart. He's not as good as I was, and I'll tell you why. He doesn't have the experience of ball playing like I had, which I could talk about. But I'm telling you, I love that kid. I love his calls. They're great. They're calm and collected. Then he gets raving. But I love all his gears are good. He has first, second, and third, and overdrive. And he's really outstanding. And that comes from page 54.
That was quite a compliment coming from the GOAT.
Well, I really mean, I love his call. I mean, I think, don't you think? I think he's fantastic.
Oh, no, I agree. I think he, I mean, I would advise him to, realize this is a family show, but he'll learn.
Yeah, and I know, and that's part of the Yankee stuff. And he's a Yankee. His daddy's a Yankee, I'm
now,
sure.
Now, Jim, did they talk? I mean, I don't listen. When I was a kid, if I said that, I mean, I'd end up across the room.
I didn't hear what he said, Paul. I didn't hear what
well,
he said.
Well, I can't repeat it, but he used an expletive that, you know, he said blank for brains. He said, who was he talking about, Mike Griffith?
Well, he got that right. Get no hold against him, Paul. He got that right.
Well, I agree. He did get it right, but he just shouldn't have said it.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, by the way, yeah.
He'll learn that.
He got it right.
He'll
You're
learn
right.
that after a few expellings like you've given him once before.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the kid and the passion, but it's the eloquence he's got.
He has
a calmness
absolutely.
About him that is far beyond his years.
Well, he could learn from you. That's for sure, but he's off to a good start.
Well, I would, I've taught people before, believe it or not. I better watch what I say, but I taught the guy in Tuscaloosa, the one that sat next to you 12 years ago, and you told him you'd like to have me on the show 4 hours a day.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I sure did.
And that's what he told me. You said he was with you, and I didn't know it. He was sitting with you in the studio at ERC. But I'm telling you, I really believe, I mean, I would love to tell, if he wants me to help him, Dominic.
I'll mention that. I met Dominic and his parents, and that would be a good lesson for him to talk to the master.
Well, I appreciate you saying that because I'm not going to disagree with you, and I think you're right. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm not throwing any bad water on his daddy, but I learned a lot of that expletive stuff from my daddy from the time I was 3 years old. And it gets ingrained in you, Paul.
Oh, no, listen, I heard it too. I heard things I shouldn't have heard when I was younger.
And you know, you probably said it on in the classroom or around the class. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course
I do. You just get in the habit of hearing what your daddy says.
Absolutely.
You love your daddy. You respect him. and your daddy has passion, and you learn that kind of stuff from him. You have to dislearn it. But I'm just telling you, yeah, I love to tutor that guy. He don't need much tutor. He can tutor. He's the best caller on the show right now, Paul. I promise you. I mean that.
Well, that's
and
great.
I really mean that.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I think we can help that.
All right. Good deal. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
You know, I might have to respectfully disagree with everything Jim just said. First off, the little feller, and I'm talking about the little feller just called in a little while ago, but you know, the little kid, he's got a sense of entitlement. Typical Dan Bammer. And, and I tell you what, if he was a kid of mine, my grandkid, I'd make his ass go out and get a switch, one that I approved of, and I'd tear his ass up. I mean, at this point, if you don't teach these kids some respect, anyway, moving past that trash, just okay. Moving past it. You know, Paul, I think you and Griffith do well because Griffith takes you to the cutting edge of the truth. And when he told you and reminded you that Spurrier said that this guy was at Alabama was a 3-year coach, he's serious. He's giving you an honest opinion. You ask him what the people in Georgia were saying. He gave you an honest opinion, and he's just telling it like it is. People in Georgia just don't give a damn about Alabama because they're going to go over there and kick that ass, and when Auburn goes up there at the end of the year, we're going to book in their ass. It'll be a Georgia win and an Auburn win in Bryant-Denny. Nepal, I mean, I don't need to give you a black hat or a hair joke or anything like that, but, you know, when you were – younger and when I was younger we was kind of hanging out, we kind of hung out with our friends and stuff and did our friend things and had fun. What do you think prison when Legend was at the school, you know, on his scholarship, you know, away for a while, what do you think him and his husband did in their spare time? Have a good day. War damn Eagle.
We're going to take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back in the final 30 minutes of the week. AJ is up next.
You know, Paul, have a cup of coffee brewing right here. On the Feinbaum Nation, these bunch of groupies over there that are thinking that I called in yesterday, or I'm the one that's Luther. That is, I'm not Luther. I don't have a laughing hyena, but, I enjoyed his call. Set that record straight. But I'm going to tell you something. Jim Jones. I'm going to tell you something, Jim Jones. You come on here quoting Bible scripture. You come on here giving Bible study. You come on giving prayer conferences. You come on here giving revivals. And you want to sit there and tell me that it's okay for that young man to sit there and talk like that, Jim? What kind of scum of the, oh, well, it was my daddy. Well, the Bible didn't work with you, did it, Jim? You didn't follow the rules and what it says then, because it would have cleaned up your mouth. You don't ever get in here and support a 12-year-old kid talking trash and talking so bad that he gets the fine bomb pimp slap button from the profanity. I mean, Jim, what kind of scum of the earth can you actually be, you know? I mean, this beats all I ever seen, Paul. This wasn't even going to be my call today. But I can tell you what it is. It is a call to Satan himself, Jim from Tuscaloosa, Lewis, born in 1951, older than damn dirt, going to sit there and talk about, I mean, you give me a break, Jim. I'm so damn mad, Paul. I could chew nails right now. I ain't never felt like Charles from Real Town like I do now. I'm way out of character, but I can tell you this, Jim, that is sorry, that is low down, and I hope you wouldn't raise your kids like that, because, you know, you're a worthless waste of oxygen, Jim.
Jimmy is up next in Chicago. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. I've got to say, this is, I think, the third interview you've done with Griffith since DeBoer became the coach. And, man, oh, man, you talk about bitter. I don't think Griffith's ever going to get over that Bama loss, do you?
No, I don't.
Just the way, with his tone and just everything. And, I mean, from the very first interview that you did with him, he made it a point to ridicule DeBoer's stint at University of Sioux Falls. And some of college football's greatest coaches got their start as head coaches at small schools. Ask anybody in the Big 12 if Lance Leipold wasn't qualified to be coaching at the Power 5 level, and the problems he's given everybody in just his short time at Kansas. As a matter of fact, I think he was the leading candidate for the Washington job, and then he said he was very happy at Kansas, but did, you know, give some suggestions for other candidates. But, man, oh, man. And for him to say that he could be a 1 or 2 year coach, and then he groups Alabama into the second tier of the SEC. I guess, Griff, I'd like to hear him ask Dan Lanning, his guy, if DeBoer was qualified to coach at this level, since he's 3-0 against Lanning in his 2 years at Washington, inherited a 4-8 program, and was the coach of the year in the Pac-12 both years he was in the league. I'd like to hear Griff ask Sark, who went 0-2 against DeBoer, and DeBoer's 2 years at Washington, if he's qualified to coach at this level. 1-0 against Lincoln Riley. I mean, how can you be a reporter at a program like Georgia and not know more than he does about the Alabama head coach? I mean, am I kind of out of bounds here? I mean, shouldn't he be a little bit more, you know, aware of the backgrounds of a background of a coach like that, with that kind of
Well, sometimes you can be a little too close to the sun, which in this case, the sun is Kirby Smart.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And, but man, oh man, he is just, again, you could just tell he's just bitter. But I tell you, it might be a great idea for you, once the season begins, to, you know, bring him in every Monday or Tuesday of football season. You know, it'd be kind of like the old World Championship Wrestling days with Gordon Soley, where, you know, he'd have the Iron Sheik or...
Yeah, I think we do have him on every week.
Somebody on the air.
No, you're right. Jimmy, we usually have... thanks for the call, by the way. We usually have Griff on every Thursday. And listen, that's his opinion. Anybody who has watched Griff on this show for the last couple of years know how he feels. Let's take some more phone calls. Eugene is in Kentucky. Hello, Eugene.
Good evening, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to follow up on an interview you done with John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader earlier in the week. I don't exactly recall what day that was, but he was talking about John Calipari's struggles at Kentucky. And I just want to say I met John Calipari twice, and I think John is a good guy. I think he grew up with humble beginnings. He's a humanitarian, did a lot of good charity work throughout the Lexington Fayette County area. The only problem is I don't think Kentucky basketball is a philanthropic venture, so to speak.
No, it's not.
And the truth of the matter is, since 2015, albeit with the exception of maybe 1 year, Kentucky's been irrelevant. And, the reason why the 2015 loss was so crushing to Kentucky fans was not only, losing the undefeated season, losing to Wisconsin, but it basically gift-wrapped a national championship to Duke. Overall, you've covered Alabama football for so many years, and I just wanted to ask, if Nick Saban hadn't won an SEC championship since 2015 and hadn't reached the CFP once since 2015, would he still be as lauded as he is by Alabama?
No, he wouldn't. And I think ultimately he would have left because the pressure and the negativity, even for somebody like that, would have been too much. And that's really, Cal had that 1 year, I think, when he lost to, was it North Carolina in the Elite Eight? But other than that, he may have lost to Auburn in a similar situation. But you're right. The program has slipped. I read an article by Dan Wokin today in USA Today that essentially said it's over for him. I don't know that. You're closer to it. But there is a big disconnect right now.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. And, listen, the one thing that he really said that irked me is, during the COVID year, he said, I think we would have won the national championship that year. Well, every program could say that. I mean, if that's something to bide more time. And I think that they've largely, struggled this year, so to speak.
But you know the deal, Eugene. At the end of last year, everyone said, the recruiting class. I mean, you can't live on next year's recruiting class. At some point, you have to perform. And I think what I do agree, Clay may have, given him a little too much rope. But I mean, I think something's got to happen here in these next 2 to 3 weeks, because tomorrow. I don't see a win tomorrow at Auburn, and that just makes it more complex from a seeding standpoint.
I would completely agree. And once again, I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you very, very much. We try to bend over backwards when somebody feels like they have been mischaracterized on this show. So we are going to allow
you. Thank you very much, Paul. Thank you very much, Paul, because that needs straightening out. You heard my call. I never agreed with the expletives. We talked about that. I said I would try to help. I would like to help Dominic about not doing that. And this scumbag, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you what I believe, what I know. This scumbag you have on every day, this jackass AJ, he's headed to hell in a handbasket. He's as big a heathen, lying scumbag as you've ever had, including Legion. This guy, AJ, is the worst you've ever seen. Because he lies about somebody's faith and what they've said and not said. You heard what he said. Everything he said is a stinking damn lie. And I learned this in the pool. One of the big things I learned in the pool room when I started playing pool at 12 years old, it was filled with lying, trash, scumbags from the worst side of town. That's what this guy is. AJ, you can see his stinking picture. He does look like I there's some good used car salesman, but there's some sorry ones too. He looks like the sorriest used car salesman trying to wear those glasses, trying to hide his face, wearing his stupid white shirt and tie, which that's all camouflage, trying to make him look like he's decent. There's nothing decent about AJ. He's a lying, freaking scum. And I'm not, and I am a Christian. Maybe I don't represent it, but I tell you one thing, AJ. Well, anyway, I'm going to watch what I say about my faith, but I guarantee you I am God's child, and you got to be born again to get there. And you ain't born again at nothing but from your father, the devil. The Bible calls about the liars of being the sons of the father of the devil, who is that Satan. That's who you represent. That's who you represent every day. You're the lowest form of scum that ever called this show. I appreciate you letting me say that, Paul. I'm just so fired up about scum lives like him and Squirrel and other people that are just out of line. And you know for a fact, I didn't say any of that, that he claimed I said regarding Dominic and supporting his cousin. I did not. You know that, right?
I do know that. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are short on time, so once you open the door, you can't close it. And I've opened the door, so shame on me. AJ wants to respond.
It's werewolf night. Let me tell you something, Jim. You scum of the earth. I will sit there and encourage everybody in the Fine Bomb Nation to get on ESPN. And they can get on the podcast here in just a little while, about 30 minutes after the show's over with. And they can sit there and re-listen to exactly what I said was the truth, exactly what you just said, Jim, because you're exactly what I thought you was. You are you're Satan's child. That is. And you need to be put in the box like John talks about. And you need to be surveyed. And he needs to walk around there and look at you every day and tell you exactly what you are, Jim. You are a liar. You're a deceitful. And you're a piece of garbage. And you're not going to sit there and tell me that you're going to condone a 12-year-old's vocabulary that gets him cut off on the show. And then sit there and act like you're some kind of Pope John Paul III. So let me tell you something, Jim. I know you're partial to 12-year-olds, but to hell with you, Jim.
Thanks, AJ. We have to go to a break because we're almost out of time. Back with a few more minutes right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Couple of great meets straight ahead. Florida, Missouri, and Auburn at LSU. Expired is up next. Hello, Expired.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We're doing great. Thank you.
It seems like you're doing great. I just wanted to weigh in on one, two, three things real quick with Jim from Tuscaloosa, whose favorite word is pathetic, by the way. Let me tell you something, Jim. Number one, you're a pathetic person. Number two, you're a pathetic caller. And number three, you're a pathetic Christian. Have a great weekend, Paul. Great call, AJ. Go to hell, Jim. Later.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.